you know, keep in His presence. And our Lord, let's encourage us continually. Let's be found, you know, in our place. Bible says we never know the day or the hour when the Master shall come, and we should always be encouraged to be faithful, to be found, because the Bible says, who is a wise and faithful, you know, manager or steward who the Master shall leave in charge of his, you know, of his servants to give them food at their proper time. You know, when it speaks of responsibilities, it speaks of consistency, you know, at their proper time. And the Bible says it will be good for that master or for that steward manager when the Lord comes, when the Master comes, he shall find him doing what he was asked to do. Or if not, you know, if the Master becomes, you know, says the Master's taken too long and does this, you know, God really continually encourages us to, you know, to be found in our consistent area of fellowship, and especially private fellowship, individual fellowship, meditation on the Word of God, just reflecting, you know, as you have a scripture in your heart, you know, as you have, you know, the Word of God in your heart, it begins to be magnified. You know, God begins to be magnified because He starts to show you, you know, dimensions of Him. He starts to be exalted in your life. You know, you're committing yourself to the things of God. You're meditating on the things of God. You're pondering. You can think of Peter, you know, when he received the vision. The Bible says, you know, that while he still pondered on these things, while he still meditated on the vision and what could be the meaning. And really, when we meditate on the Word of God as believers, we reflect on God's Word, on God's truth, and what could it mean for us? What does it mean for our family? And you create that image. You see, like when we are reading about heaven, you know, and when you're reading about the new heaven and the new earth, go there in your mind. See that new heaven. See that beauty, new earth. See, you know, see the new Jerusalem. See that building in your, see it in your heart. See it in your mind. See those walls. See, you know, the clear glass. You know, the gold there is described as pure, clear, you know, clear gold. It's not like even the gold that we have. You know, for us, we think of the yellow gold, but when we think of that, it is the purest of gold that is even as clear glass. You can be told of, you know, the emeralds, you know, the various stones, the jacinth, you know, the amethyst, you know, the different types, you know, the 12 foundations. And we have told that, you know, they have the different colors and the different types of precious metals. And picture yourself looking at that square, you know, tabernacle of God, the new Jerusalem. Think of yourself not only in it, but also observing it, you know, because we are that bride. We are part of that body. You know, we are, you know, the disciples are made the 12, you know, pillars, you know, and God says to him that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the house. So you think of yourself not only as a stone, as a living stone that's part of it. Think of yourself as a pillar. You know, think of God's light radiating through it. God's glorious light, that bright white light that is shining through that new heavenly Jerusalem. And we are part of it. And we are in it. And the Bible says there shall be no tears. There shall be no crying. He shall wipe away every tear. There shall be no sickness. You know, there shall be no need for the sun, because the Lord himself shall be our light. He shall be our sun. And we really have to constantly take ourselves there in our mind. And as we think of that, as we reflect on the glory of God, that glory of God also begins to manifest in our lives, and we reflect His glory. That's when you now become the light of the world. And I want you to think of God's revelation or God's work being complete. What do I mean by being complete? When we think of Hebrews, at the beginning it says, in the past, God spoke to us by the prophets, by the teachers, by our fathers through various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. That means that God has completed his revelation. He has completed his speaking to us, and he's speaking to us. The completion of that is that it is Christ. Christ is our fulfillment and is the final fulfillment and the final revelation that God has revealed of himself to us. And that marks the completion. So everything else that we understand as of now is more of, explanations, is more of illumination. It is more of bringing to light what Christ has already revealed, what God has already revealed. And I just want to put this thought in us, even as we look at this, this New Jerusalem. Don't just think of it as a future event. Think of it as a present event. In that, to God, there are things that are already done. It is already completed. When John the Revelator sees this, he already walks in it. He sees the reality. But then he also tells us the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world that were laid. It manifested in his time, but to God it was already done. Because God does not exist in our time. He does not exist in time. It is only man that is limited by time. And when we read that, that God's dwelling place is with man, who is that dwelling place? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the living God. Now, God's dwelling place is in you and is with you, not just will be in the future, but even as of now. And in the Spirit, we are that body. We are this New Jerusalem. We are this bride that is beautified and made beautiful for the Master. So let's look, Revelation 21. The Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Sorry. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears away from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, it is done. Not it will be done. It is done. Not I will make. I make all new things new. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is thirsty of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and he will be my God, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. And verse 9 says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, and saying, Come hither, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal." Let me first stop there, and let's just reflect on before we get into so much of it. Remember, judgment has already taken place. Those that did not believe in Christ have been thrown into the lake of fire. The books have been opened, and everyone whose name was not found in the book of life was thrown in the lake of fire. And judgment is complete, and now God says he is making everything new. And we can see that the earth that, as we know it, the earth that we have been walking in, you know, this earth that has pain, this earth that has sickness, this earth that is, you know, creation has been groaning, you know, in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. This earth is not the same because it is passed away. We are told earth and sky fled away from God, and he makes a new heaven and a new earth. Some people believe it will be a healed, it will be the old earth that will be healed. Others believe that it is a new, but what the scripture tells us, it's a new heaven and a new earth, and there is no more sea. And what we see is that the holy city, remember now, the new Jerusalem is the bride, that's what we are told, is the bride of the Lamb. We now become it's a marriage, you know, feast. It's the feast, so the bride is coming, and the bride comes out of God and comes, and God says, "My dwelling place is with you. I will be your God, and I," you know, "God will be himself will be with them and be their God." This is now Emmanuel, God with us. And what I'm saying is that it's not only a future experience, but also a present experience. And you can constantly be conscious that you live in that new heaven and in that new earth, and you're already part of it. And as you dwell in it, God is with you, and he is your God. And even now, he wipes away all our tears from our eyes. We don't experience death. There's no more death. There's no more sorrow. There's no crying. There's no more pain. Why? Because all things have passed away and the new has come. And he says, "I make all things new." To God it is done. He says it's Alpha, it's Omega. And that real manifestation for us, because it is then that we will have that complete experience. For now, we can only touch a glimpse of it. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, those who have tasted of the powers of the coming age, you know, it is impossible for them to be restored when they fall away. Why? Because to their shame, they are crucifying the Lord over and over again. That means that it is possible to have a foretaste, to taste a bit of the powers of the age to come, to taste a bit of that new experience, of that heavenly experience. And anyone who has had that, you know, that experience where God has given them a vision of heaven, or a mental image of that, then you know the beauty of heaven, and the clarity of that glass, the clarity of that new Jerusalem. It's something that it's very hard to describe, and I commend John for being able to describe it. And you know, we can see that God tells us that he that overcomes There is a place for those who will overcome. There is a reward for those who will overcome. There is a grace. There is a reward. There is fountains of living water. Christ becomes our reality. We are part of him. We are in him. We are one body with him. And that is why you can see that we are that when it says the two shall become one, you know. And Paul says, I am speaking of a deeper mystery. I'm speaking of Christ and his bride. You know, think of that when we speak of marriage, that the two shall become one. It is us and Christ, the Lamb and his bride becoming one. And this is the completion of God's work, the completion of the revelation that he has for us, that we are made one with him. That's why the Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord becomes one with him in spirit. So you will be that temple. You are also that temple. And this new Jerusalem, you shall be in it, but you are also in it. And these are just the mysteries. And when you think of it, then, and it starts to grow inside you, then you will start to see the joy. You start to experience the peace. You start to experience the victory. And you start to walk in that assurance that you are a child of God. God is your father. He loves you, and you experience and walk in the newness of life. But the Bible also warns that there are those who will be outside. There are those, you know, the thing about the lake of fire is that hell will be a place of eternal judgment. It will be a place of eternal death per se, in that they will be tormented, they will be in the lake of fire. They won't die. It's not like they will die, but they will be continually and perpetually in a state of torment and death, and they will be watching and seeing heaven, seeing the new heaven and the new earth. They'll be watching that new holy city, that new Jerusalem. As they are in torment, they can see all those who are in heaven, all those who are with Christ, all those who are in that city, walking with Christ, enjoying him, being in his light. And they're watching and they're wishing that, oh, I wish I had accepted. I wish I had not been fearful. Look at how God is concerned even about fear. But the fearful, that means fearful is fear. When you're fearing, you lack faith. It is judged when we are fearing, because the Bible tells us perfect love casts out fear. We are not to live in fear. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the homongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. And verse 10, it says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, he that had a golden reed or a golden rod to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lies. Let me read in a simpler English, verse 16. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width, and measured the city with the rod 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its wall 72 yards according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Verse 22, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, the Lamb are its temple, and the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is a lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory to it in the daytime, for there will be no night there. The gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. I will stop there, and maybe tomorrow we shall reflect some more on that, especially on the walls, on the gates, on the foundations. And you can see 12, 12, 12, and 12 really is God's number for government. And remember, think of the church being founded on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the foundation, but Christ is still our cornerstone. So there's a lot to reflect on that, and we'll be able to look on that when we meet next. Yeah, so I'll stop there, and you're welcome for reflections.
Thank you. Thank you for the teaching. I was just thinking when I read that 12 tribes will be written on the gate and the names of the 12 tribes. I'm assuming the gate in the new Jerusalem, no?
Yes, yes.
And maybe I just need to study further and understand where we fall in that regard among those 12 tribes that will be written there. I think ever since we started studying this book of Revelation, I'm trying to find my compass. You understand where I will belong there. So maybe in one of these teachings, you just need to understand, because I don't know whether we subscribe as Jews or subscribe as Gentiles, but maybe because I assume the 12 tribes are the tribes of the Jewish 12 tribes. Yeah. And if they were ones written at the gate, then how about the Gentiles? So maybe these are some of the questions.
Yeah, okay, good one. In summary, a very short answer to that is, we are the walls. Yeah. Now, the city, as you can see, it has walls, and you can see the walls are like a square, and it has three gates on each side. What is written is the name. You understand? It does not mean that they are not part of also the walls. The Bible tells us we are living stones. Huh? Peter, if you read Second Peter, we are living stones. So we are part of that stones. We are part of this building. And you see, each of us, if you look at, I think it's in one of the messages the churches, it says, to him that overcometh, I will make him a pillar. So there are people who will be stones, you know, there are stones there. Are some people will be, you know, given a corner there. But those that overcome, that God, that those that even God will make pillars. But think of it as an imagery for us to see and to understand that we are in God. We will be in God and we will be in him. And remember, Revelation keeps showing us, it keeps distinguishing for us the, you know, the 12 tribes, the 144,000, you know, of Israel who will be redeemed by him. But it also says, and I saw in heaven, tribes, nations, peoples, tongues from all, you know, every tribe will be represented before the throne of God. And we are all, like, God is so vast that each of us are part of that new Jerusalem. Remember, it is the multitude of people from all tribes, nations. Now, this is where all the Gentiles fall in, you know. And the reason why I will say they are put as the gates is because Christ chose to reveal himself through them. You know, they were the first example of a holy nation, you understand, because he wanted to demonstrate. And so he chose the Israelites to do that. And that is why they are put like that. But now you can see they are gates, but the apostles are the foundation. You can see, you know, they are the foundation. They are the foundation. So you can see how this building is built by God. The church is the foundation of which the church, which through the apostles, they are the foundation. And then we can see the gates are the 12 tribes of Israel. We can see the walls are all the believers, the living stones that make up the wall and make up it. And Christ himself is our center, and he gives us the light. And you can see it is clear glass. And you can imagine the glory of God radiating through that clear. I mean, it's not even about looking for yourself. You will be in God. You can imagine you will be lost in God. And even as of now, we are in Christ. When you say we are, Christ lives in us, and we are in Christ. We are in God, and God is in us. That's now you have to think of yourself in the spirit in that way. And in that point, he is everything. We don't need anything. We're not even concerned about ourselves. Oh, who is this? Who is what? No, we'll be new bodies, a spirit being, and that resurrected and glorified body, and we will be in him and he will be in us. And that's, there'll be a unity. There'll be a marriage. There'll be a unity. And the reality is we will go back to God himself. Yes, Mary. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you so much for the expository teaching. Yeah, my own is an appeal,
yes,
to God. Mm. Because here we find those that are in the city, and we find those that are in hell, outside. So, and that place, hell, was not planned for man. It was not for human beings.
Mm.
So, my appeal is how the Lord can have every human being in the city. And I explain. You know, the context in which people are born on earth, who disposes them so much somehow? If we take of people born in the church, and they grew up seeing a lot of corruption in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you see children of pastors deciding against the faith. Now, if you see, I was watching a YouTube of an extremist that put an AK-47 in the hand of his toddler and takes a picture with it. This child has been born into that extremism, and that is all that child knows. Now, these two children, the one that is born in the church context and sees the corruption we already acknowledge is in the church, and the child of these extremists, these people are already predisposed to getting into hell. But that was not how the Lord planned it. The Lord planned man to be part of his kingdom.
Mm.
So I don't know. Well, we do pray, but I'm just appealing to the Lord that we are before his presence.
Mm.
That how can you make it, whether you're using us as believers, how can you make sure that these children, these people, this multitude born under this context that predisposes them to enter into hell are saved in such a way that when they get to heaven, they will be most grateful, because the Lord made us to understand that the people who were saved from more sin will even be more grateful, you know, than yes. So I want that place, hell, outside to be empty. And only the person it was created for, who is the devil, should be there. Then every human being will be inside. Those that were totally lost, and what a great salvation, they will even be more grateful to the Lord. I don't know, yes, how this can be a subject of prayer, but this is my wish. I look at that, and I don't know how in the church we can handle that. Over.
Amen. And as you spoke for me, that is the heart of God. Because do you think God enjoys people going to hell? No. The Bible says, if you read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, is whose desires all men to be saved? Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth? The desire of God. The reason why you see wicked people still alive, Peter tells us that God is not slow as we understand slowness, but he is patient with each man, that he desires that they be saved. So the reason why God does not exact immediate judgment is because he wants this man to be saved. And he says he's making the appeal through us, be reconciled back to God. We are the ones to make that appeal to men, because at the end of the day, the choice is with man. We will reflect more on your question, maybe at a later date, because that's a question in Romans, that is answered in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2, of, and maybe if you have time, you can go there, of how does God judge these children who, you know, who have never seen Christ, have never had the message of Christ, and people who live outside the law, or who live, who, and how will they be judged? And that comes to the righteous judgments of God. So God is righteous, and that answer is there, and I believe that God will give us a time to do that. Hopefully, maybe when we finish our teaching on Revelation, we'll go and do a study in Romans, and God's grace will be sufficient. Let's pray for today. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your desire is that all men be saved and they be part of this heavenly city, this new Jerusalem, the bride of the Lamb, this glorious city that glows with light, that glows with the glory of God, that glows with the foundations of the apostles and the gates that are pearls, that on which are the names of the apostles of the tribes of Israel, and the three gates, and on the north, east, west, and south. And we being part of that house, we being part of the walls, we being part of the pillar, and Christ himself being our centerpiece and revealing that light. And Father, I thank you that you have come. We come from God as that city, and we are in God, and God is in with us, and he makes his tent over us, that even there is no temple, that he is our temple. And he is our dwelling place. And indeed, may we dwell in that place. No tears, no more suffering, no more pain, no more shame. May we experience the peace and light of Christ in our lives, even today, O God. And I pray for my brother, my sister, who wants to live in that light, wants to live in that experience. May they find mercy in you as they ask for forgiveness, and accept them as your child in the kingdom of God. Even as we go ahead to do our various responsibilities, go ahead of us, sustain us, watch over us, keep us, and be our Father. In all these things, may your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Just a minute, Mary. I just wanted to ask you on the Bible study. Yes. Yeah, so Mary, I'll be... Okay, sure.